With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, this is Sean, left centre-back at Millwall Lionesses. I'd just like to thank all the listeners at Acting Millwall and the show itself for all their outstanding work this season and for giving us the platform to express ourselves, and hopefully we'll win that league trophy for you. Come on, you Lionesses.
You're listening to Acting Millwall, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitutes.
And welcome back to Millwall Lionesses, your premium Acton Millwall Lionesses coverage. We are still going strong, Michael, as the season really kind of gets underway. A few games in now, you know, football on the telly every weekend, but we're living for fans in stadiums, aren't we, Michael? How are you doing, mate?
I'm very, very well. Thank you for having me on again, but it's half my show as well. So thank you for letting me have my half of the cake.
I got to let you have your bit of limelight, don't I, Michael? You don't get enough. I know that you've been banging on Nick's door for a bit of a contract extension from the main show, so I've got to give you your outlet.
I see myself on a pay as play.
Who's paying? Are you paying to come on, Michael?
Well, I'm not sure what the terms of your contract are, but I'll get quite a nice little hefty fee from Mr. Hart for this. So, but without further ado, I'll let you introduce our guest this week.
Yeah, I might have to have my lawyers look into that. I'll get Nick's sports lawyer on it. But no, this evening we are joined by Millwall Lionesses goalkeeper, Larissa Miller. Larissa, thanks so much for coming on. How are you doing?
No problem. Thank you. I'm really well, thanks.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, no, we're very excited to have you on. You know, always good to have a fellow goalkeeper on. We were chatting just a little bit before coming on air that I myself used to be a goalkeeper. You know, the premier position on the football pitch, really leading from the back. And yeah, as we were saying, when goals go in, they're everyone else's fault. I guess we'll start off how we have with most of the other players, of maybe a bit about your footballing background. I know you were at a couple clubs before, but you know, how did you end up at the Lionesses?
So I used to play for Crystal Palace, and then I went to university and studied PE, and played for my uni team when I was there. And then when I finished, I didn't really have a club, so I joined Peckham Town because I knew a couple of people there already, and I loved it. Great kind of family type club. And then unfortunately that team folded, the women's team, and I was just really kind of keen to play at a high level, because Peckham was Division 3, so it was quite a big jump coming to Millwall, which is obviously Division 1. And so I reached out to the to their Instagram page and asked if I could maybe come down to a session, and then they said that was fine. So yeah, here I am.
And that's a great story, because this is where it gets confusing with the women's league. You mentioned you as Division 3 and then Mill Division 1, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, we are a tier 6 team. But we won't talk about a breakdown of the women's teams, because it starts becoming a bit of a sort of a Pandora's box you open up and all these things. But we'll move on. So just as a quick one, Larissa, you say that you mentioned the club and you asked about coming on by the Instagram channels, but how did you become a goalkeeper? Because it's not necessarily one of those positions that are sort of glamorous, if you will. I mean, Ryan talked about being a goalkeeper himself, and as we said off air, that I was the very, very unpopular position of centre-back when I played football, which is another sort of unglamorous position. So, I mean, I know that there's a lot of new goalkeepers at the moment who make it look a bit more rock and roll than it used to be, but What made you be like a goalkeeper rather than try out field?
Long story short, I was rubbish everywhere else. I was just, I think, naturally quite good at, like, good reflexes. And I just quite enjoyed being a goalkeeper. It was quite funny. I was saying to someone the other day, when I first started playing goal, like, no one ever wanted to be a keeper. And I always got to play on it, like, in every single game because I was the only keeper. But now, like, it's a battle to be first team keeper because there's a lot more people.
Yeah, I think I had a similar story as well, to be honest, that led me to it. But, you know, I think most of the best stories start through hardship of struggling on the wing to beat place for place and then, you know, getting shoved back further and further. But no, I want to talk about a bit about, you know, goalkeeping in the women's game. I'm particularly interested in it. I know we were talking a bit before where, you know, goalkeeping is that position where the spotlight is on it, regardless of what level of football you're at or regardless of, you know, what tier or if it's men's or women's football. But from the outside looking in, and I'm sure some of the listeners who are less familiar with the women's game, it's almost sometimes been seen as like a stick to beat it with. You know, some people think look at it like that, but there's a lot more depth to it. You know, if you look at the level of coaching available, especially at the top levels, how has it been for you as, you know, a female keeper, kind of, you know, a lot of women footballers almost are ambassadors for the game just by playing it. But how is it as a goalkeeper, do you feel like outwardly?
Well, I think goalkeeper is quite a lonely position. I was quite lucky when I started at Palace, one of the players' brothers was a goalkeeper at a high level. So he used to come and coach. But I used to get a goalkeeper training every week, which was really good. But I know some of the younger teams at Palace, they just had someone warm them up on a mat. They didn't get any specific training. But it kind of, when doing that, it kind of always get to be involved in, I guess, banter that goes at training because you're kind of away doing your own thing. Mm. And you sometimes maybe miss out on those connections with some people.
Quite interesting you say that from previous sort of club, been out previous experiences, because We said prior to recording, listeners, that goalkeepers are a very unique position. Even for someone who's an outfielder at Sunday league level or semi-pro or fully professional, you don't really realise, or you do realise, should I say, that goalkeeper position, as we said off air, that two of you turn up and one of you basically knows, unless you're winning 12-0 or the goalkeeper, touch wood, doesn't get injured in the first 5 minutes, or, you know, we're losing 5-0 at halftime or whatever it is, that you won't play. And then obviously depending on who's the number one or the number two or has that jersey, it can affect the other one. You said it's a lonely position, but you've had some great performances pre-season. You know, you came on against Stevenage, you got some minutes there as well. And it seems like there's a real togetherness with, like, you, Millie, Michaela, and Kelly as well. You know, Kelly's at that sort of stage of her career where she's obviously a goalkeeper, but also she can be a goalkeeping coach as well. What is it like at the moment, let's be honest, being the number two, but knowing, you know, you've got a great number one in Millie, and how supportive have all the goalkeepers been to you?
I love all the goalkeepers. We're kind of like a keeper's union. Yeah, no, it's great training with them. Michaela's told me things which have helped me in my game and kind of taught me things. Kelly's been really, I actually used to play with Kelly way back in the day when I was about 15 or 16. So when I saw she was here, I got really excited to kind of play with her again. I love it. And even though I don't get to play, like since we started the league, I haven't really played. It is, you know, I do, it is nice making the team list and kind of making the squad. And when people at work ask, you know, if I'm playing Sunday, I can say, oh yeah, like I'm on the team sheet. And it just makes me feel good that they value me as a goalkeeper. And then, you know, when, like, Millie's really supportive to me and we kind of give each other advice at half time. It's just a really nice atmosphere.
No, that's great. Yeah. And also as well, Larissa, with that, it's as you say about, like, even being part of the squad, and we all know from watching documentaries about football and how football's evolved over the years, it is very much a squad game. compared to what it used to be, where you had like the 11 and then like the one sub or the two subs. But how do you feel as a player that, as you say, with all due respect to Peckham Town, they're a great little outfit. You know, we knew about them at the start of pre-season. You know, there was a few connections there. And it's a club that like, I'll always look on sort of fondly, or look back on fondly for developing some good players. But going back to that sort of pride you feel, even though you may be on the bench or the number two goalkeeper, to jump up those many divisions and have so many of the staff and the players have that belief in you, how does that make you feel as a player, knowing that you've made that jump and it's worked?
It makes me feel great. And Kelly always says, you know, and Nick always says, if they didn't think we were good enough, we wouldn't be here. So the fact that I've kind of come from, I don't want to say a low-level team, but lower division-wise level, and kind of not as serious team, the fact that I made it to Millwall without that much kind of experience of this high level, because even when I was at Palace, you know, I was quite young then, and then went away to uni for 4 years, so I was away from this kind of high level football for quite a while. So I like, it makes me feel proud of myself that, you know, I am on the team, I'm on the squad, I'm making the team sheet each week, even though I don't get to play, you know, they still value me enough to take me to each game.
Yeah, and you know, we mentioned before about that one-to-one coaching that a lot of young female keepers especially don't get. I know from my own experience that I think I probably had a goalkeeping coach for two or three of the seasons that I played, you know, from 8 or 9 really up until about 20. And those seasons I came on leaps and bounds, really. I know at the club now, I mean, you must be in quite a lucky position, I guess, to have had such good one-to-one coaching. But the position now at the club, you've got Greg, obviously, who is a qualified player coach, but also a highly qualified goalkeeping coach as well. And saw at the game the other day, obviously, him putting yourself and Millie through your paces before kickoff. How good has he been, you know, coming to a club, like you say, taking a step up to Millwall and coming in where you have that dedicated keeper coach?
Oh, it's great. I mean, there's only so much kind of specialisms other positions have and they can correct you on. Whereas he's like, I guess, a kind of goalkeeping Bible that really helps us out each week. Even yesterday at training, I was the only keeper there. So I got essentially got a one-to-one session with him. And he was kind of rewriting what I knew of goalkeeping. So I, like, just my positioning, he was correcting the whole session. And I've always been taught to do certain things, and then he like kind of rewrote that and told me to do something else, which actually helped a lot better than what I was doing. So yeah, it's just great to have him there and be that really kind of specialist coach in my position.
Yeah, I think goalkeeping is one of those positions, particularly obviously all positions of football have their technique and positioning that are so important. But goalkeeping is one of those things, with a few pointers and a little bit of guidance, you can see your game improve so quickly. And obviously, you know, before we came on air again, we were talking about how yourself and Millie have got that battle for the number one spot. You know, you mentioned you haven't had as many minutes as Millie so far this season, but tell us a bit about that competition. And obviously you were saying how it's kind of driving you to be a better goalkeeper at the moment. Tell us a little bit about how that is going.
I mean, obviously I would love to play, but Millie had, you know, an amazing game last week. And I think even if we were winning maybe 10-0, I think bringing me on at half time or whenever would have probably been the wrong decision, because she was playing so well. And I think because it was cold as well and I'd just been kind of sat there, I wouldn't have been as alert as she was for that whole game, so that could have disrupted the flow. So I think the management side is kind of spot on in their decision making. You know, if she's having a good game, why bring someone else on who, you know, isn't as alert as she might be that game? I don't, like, obviously it is kind of a competition. We both want to be number one. But like I said off air, you know, it's really inspiring, especially she's younger than me, kind of watching her grow in a way. And then it is very motivating also because she is younger for me to, you know, prove myself more and work harder and get to that top spot.
It'll only develop you as a player. But unfortunately now, Larissa, this is the moment where Nick Hart puts in his new teammates jingle, because we unfortunately had the teammate section which all players and staff must answer. So are you ready?
The teammate section. The teammate section. The teammate section.
I think so.
You think so? Right, so it's just quick fire questions. As I said, you must answer, and the default answer for anything negative is Nick Farrell.
Okay,
so we'll start, we'll go with the following. So who is the biggest joker?
Sean.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's a new answer for that one.
Sean or Danny, that's fine, because you are the literally, you've won the trophy for the first person not to say Molly all season.
That's good. That's what we like.
Which is good. Change it up. Who's the most intelligent?
I don't know.
Again, if you struggle with most intelligent, you can say the media team.
I might go with Kelly, just because she's, you know, got a wide knowledge of all positions on the pitch.
Brilliant.
No, indeed. Who's the funniest?
Danny, I think.
No, indeed. And who's the biggest moaner?
Charlie
Casey, the new signing, yeah?
Yeah.
And who's the hardest working?
Everyone works really hard, actually.
No, don't be diplomatic. You've got to say one.
I'm going to say our lovely manager, Kate.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay. And final question, who's the big sister of the group?
Probably go Libby on that one.
Lovely stuff. I think you can see immediately there, Michael, how goalkeepers, you know, they're thinking outside the box. They're not on the same wavelength as the other players, you know, some different answers this time.
They see it differently, yeah.
Brilliant. Right, well, I think we should start talking about last Sunday's game. Obviously, the really late 5-4 loss to Hutton. Didn't play them last season, and they were one of the better sides in the division. Obviously, probably on a par with Millwall last year. It was a really, really tough defeat to take after being 4-2 up and a late goal really to nick it. A lot of controversy and, a lot to talk about from that game that we will get onto shortly. But as usual, myself and Harry Warren were at the game. So we've got a little bit of a match report and obviously a post-match interview with Katie that we can listen to now.
Achtung, Millwall.
So we are joined post-match by Katie Whitmore. Katie, a tough result, a really tough. You can see how much it meant to Hutton, obviously, to steal the win, really. From your perspective, what happened today?
Yeah, look, we came down and we knew it was going to be a hard game, and we have obviously spoken about how we want that togetherness and we work as our units and as our team, and the girls showed it today. Yes, we didn't get the 3 points or the 1 point, but we knew it was going to be hard, and it was always going to be a game where there'd just be that one goal in it, and unfortunately it didn't work in our favour. But for me, I've still left and I've told the girls that they've got to walk away with their head held high, because out there that's Millwall Lionesses, and that was exactly what I wanted them to do today.
Yeah, you could see the crowd really getting behind them. There was a lot of volume, a lot of passion in this game. Obviously, you know, you said you don't really want to talk about the refereeing decisions. Losing Abidel to injury is not helping, but, you know, that energy, like you're saying, that commitment was there on the pitch today.
And, you know, we'll always be, because of that togetherness, we'll always be a team where we'll protect each other. You know, we're Lionesses at the end of the day. We protect, you know, we protect our family, and that's what we are. We are one big family. So for me, when Abby went down, the girls did the right thing and they came together and they put challenges in, and they made sure that they were standing their ground. And we were just a bit unlucky at the end there, and it happens. But like I said, that was more of a positive performance in comparison to last week, and it just shows that the girls have that togetherness. The girls want to compete and they want to show that we are here to get a job done at the end of the day.
Yeah, I thought the performance in itself, you know, beside the result, was everything that you'd probably have wanted after last week. You know, obviously we're missing some big characters at the team for injury, obviously missing Libby, missing Molly, and missing Alyssa as well. Yeah, mm-hmm. So considering the fact that you then lose Abby, I think that the performance, the girls can, as you said, take it as a positive that even without them, they've all played the system and they've done well today.
Yeah, you know, when you look at a player like Lib's position, you know, she is a big role within the squad. She's the captain and everyone comments about how vocal she is, you know, so you can really see sometimes when she's not there how it plays an impact. So for the girls to, you know, come onto the pitch and step up and, you know, follow in those footsteps of being vocal, like Caitlin today having to do a position that she hasn't done so far this season, yeah, and taking on that role that Libby does, I thought she did well there. And, you know, it just makes it just shows that togetherness, really. We've got players out of the squad and they've stepped in and they've taken that on.
Kate, I mean, yes, score line would suggest otherwise. If you was to open up a paper or you was to look online and see a 5-4 defeat, you'd think that what I'm about to say is a stupid statement. But again, incredible goalkeeping by Millie. I cannot fault her in goal. She is unbelievable. And it's just that unfortunate thing that you find in the women's game, which again, this is something you do see semi-regularly. It is, you know, a lot of people shoot high, a lot of people shoot in the top corners because it is a bit more difficult for young goalkeepers to get to those top corners. But aside from those, she was incredible. I mean, some of those goals that we conceded today were, she's pulled off a great save and we weren't perhaps quick enough on the follow-up to get back in. If you follow up, and not trying to be too critical, but if you follow up those, you put them out for a corner, you put them out for a throw, the scoreline stays a lot more respectable. I can't say enough just how a good performance I thought she had again today.
Yeah, Millie, we talk about Millie every week because every week she saves us.
Incredible.
And, you know, you can see the difference. When the girls are confident with who they've got in goal, that allows them to be that little bit more confident with how they play out on field. And I think Millie saved us quite a lot today. You know, she needs to leave with her head held high because she did save us and she made some superb saves and kept us going for a long time during that match. So I think that she needs to be reminded just how great she is in that sense. And, you know, there's always that. The thing with Millie is she's coachable. She wants to learn and she wants to continue reviewing her position and reviewing how she plays. And she's always looking to try and improve her game. And that, for me, as a manager, is superb from a goalkeeper.
Exactly. And also, as well, you know, we focus a lot on Millie individually, like in post-match comments. But can we have a few comments about, like, Larissa and Kelly as well? Because it must be difficult for those players who are on the bench or, you know, make these substitutes appearances. It shows the togetherness of the goalkeeping unit that they seem really supportive of each other,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Definitely. I think, you know, Larissa's been on the bench now for the last three games, hasn't really had much of a look in since the season started, because obviously Millie is our goalkeeper, and she's just that togetherness she shows. Like, if Millie's head drops, Larissa's there telling her, get your head up, you're fine, and reassuring her. And the same for Kelly. Kelly does the exact same. You know, Kelly's got that little bit of experience that where she can talk to Millie and explain how she might feel and be able to kind of support her in that sense. And so for me, like I said, in the whole squad today, it showed. You know, we say when you've got a good, happy camp, it shows on the pitch, and that's exactly what happened. We left and we clapped our fans as if we did get a good result today because the girls put that performance in and were just unlucky.
Yeah. Just one last thing. Obviously, the result's not gone the way you wanted, but, you know, we touched on the injuries and the key players missing, but as a manager, you must be happy with the reaction. From last week, really difficult result, really difficult game, to then step up this week with players missing and put in a performance like that, which, at the end of the day, for one reason or another, hasn't gone your way. You must be happy with the squad.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we spoke last week about how it was going to go with the squad because of the performance. And out there, like we've said, we are missing key players. Ultimately, we are missing key players that would usually be in that starting 11. And the girls have stepped up, and that was their opportunity to be knocking on the manager's door, saying, this is my chance to be in the starting 11. This is my chance to be in the squad. And they did that, and they showed. And, you know, it just makes it even more of an example of how we are there as a squad, not as individuals, and we're doing it to help each other out. And, you know, that's just, for me, the performance today was great.
So we're here at the end of the game. It's finished. Millwall Lioness is 4, Hutton 5. A kind of bitter end to it. Harry, post-match thoughts?
I'm trying to sum up. The game turned on one decision. I know you can't turn around and base the results on refereeing decisions, but I can't turn around and stress this enough. Abbey Dell scored a hat-trick, is running rings around Hutton's back four, is through on goal. She's about to, like a bouncing ball, about to go past the last girl. The last girl, it's a bouncing ball, it's there to be won. She mistimes it terribly and leads with her arm. She's the last girl. She should be sent off. She's given a yellow card. Abby Dell's broke her nose, apparently, I've been told from the bench. The referee has given a yellow. She's down for 10 minutes. He plays 4 minutes of extra time. These are all decisions that, these are variables in football. Yes, the girls probably should defend some chances better, but big decisions change games. Managers talk about it all the time at the highest level, and it's a disgrace. I mean, the referee's behaviour, the way he's walked off the pitch there, is a disgrace for me as well. But there we go. I'm allowed
Michael,
to say that.
Post-match thoughts for joined by Michael Avery.
Gutting, in truth. Absolutely gutting. You don't want to create. And look at this here. Like, I mean, this is an audio, so you can't see it. But you've got the entire fans on their feet here. You don't normally want to blame refs. You don't want to blame refs for certain scorelines, but at the end of the day, you've got near on GBH, like 20
have
yards
done, let me put it this way, lads. If you've done, and ladies listening, if you've done this, if you've done that in a pub, you would be nicked, right? That's how bad it was. Nah, there you go.
Yeah, I think if you can be critical of the side, you've got a question why goalkeepers make saves, but no one follows up when she palms it out. I'm not sure if you guys have said that already. I've stood away from you. But Millie again has been absolutely incredible. Again,
two or three of the goals from rebounds, really.
Yeah, she's made great saves there, Ryan, and no one's followed it up. Well, they have, the opposition.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to look at yourself there. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got... I'll send it to Sean. I mean, I shouldn't have been saying, obviously, because I've been running the line, but I'll send it to Sean. You've got to appeal, because the referee is listening to appeals. He's not going by decisions. He's going by who's appealing the loudest, and ultimately, they appealed louder. They're appealing, kept that girl on the pitch. Simple as that,
I think.
And it changed the game.
It changed. I mean, as we say, Abby Dell had a hat-trick and was, you know, looked on course for three or four.
There was no stopping her today. No. Abby Dell was incredible today. Honestly, absolutely incredible.
I mean, the only way to stop her is to commit GBH, apparently.
Yeah. Abby Dell's performance there was one of those games where you would look, if she played the full 90 and didn't get taken out, you'd look and go, like, you look at the scoreline and go, Christ, this girl's got five.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was 100%. 100%. So good.
And it's one of those, like you say, there's team could have played better in some aspects.
But in general, it's a good performance.
Good performance in general. It's one of those that turns. I think you can see how Hutton is celebrating at the end. They know how big a result that is.
Yeah.
That's a really big result for Millwall to, like, you know, couple tough results back to back now that they need to start getting some wins.
But morale-wise, you can't take anything about that game.
No.
I feel absolute. I'm not sure I missed Harry at the beginning, but just seeing him walking off, looking like he's going to chin someone who's near him in a rucksack. But... It's just gutting. I can't put into words how disappointing
it is. Really is. It really is so frustrating.
It so deserves saying.
Well, we will be back with you for some post-match comments from Katie Whitmore and one of the select Lionesses players.
And don't be surprised if half of the media team get fined for confronting the ref after the game. Come on, you Lionesses.
Go on, you Lionesses.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Achtung, Mehlball.
This may need editing, but no, please, Larissa, please. Do say what you think of the game as diplomatically as possible, as Ryan says.
I think definitely mentioned the cracking noise. But yeah.
Yeah. I think we definitely deserve the win from that. I think there were a couple things which kind of, I don't really know how to say it, like shocked us, which, like, our players said they were scared to come back on, some of them, because of some of the things that happened in the game. Like, obviously, Abby basically getting knocked out, and on where I was sitting on the sideline, we heard that crack of, I don't know if it was her nose or her head or, but yeah, it looked horrible, it sounded horrible, and the ref was...
Just say the ref made his decision to keep her on the pitch. And you think ref... that affected the game?
Okay. Sorry. Obviously, the ref's decision to not send her off really affected the game. And we said at training, like, some of the girls who were on the sideline didn't want to come back on and play because they were scared. And I would be too if I'd just been taken out like that. And I really think Abby would have gone on to score that goal had that not happened. And I heard their coach shout a few times, "Goals change the game," which is so true. And I think if she had scored that, they would have lost their heads, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if them injuring Abby was tactical or whether it was just an accident, or I don't know. But I think there might have been some sort of intention behind that.
Yeah. I think Michael's given me a bit more permission to have a bit more free rein on it, to the extent, it's one of those things, I think, personally, as a fan of Millwall, or normally when I'm watching games, I don't like to just bemoan referee decisions or how they change things. But, you know, regardless of decisions, I think the first half for Millwall was obviously 2-1 up at halftime. It was a really strong performance. Hutton's goal really came quite against the run of play. That I think Lioness has looked really comfortable. Obviously, Abby Dell getting a couple goals and obviously sealing a hat-trick as well. I said to Harry and the others as we were watching the game, just you would put a house on her scoring 5 or 6 in that game. I think I said about 10 minutes in, when she had a half chance, Abby Dell's going to get a hat-trick today. And she looked unstoppable. And then obviously early in the second half, there's that ball over the top that, you know, if people haven't seen it so far, I think I'll try and put it out with this podcast, but it's definitely on Harry's timeline at Block 45 Lion. But the ball goes over the top and she's clean for on goal, and the defender just elbow first, shoulder first, whatever part of her body it was, and just completely wipes her out. And a yellow card for, you know, for last player, for serious foul play, for a professional foul, whichever one you want to pick, the fact that the yellow was the decision there, I don't think anyone could really understand it. And like you said, it changes the game because Hutton then get a bit of spring in their step because they've got away with one. Obviously, you and the rest of the side, obviously you're on the bench, but the rest of the side obviously then have a bit of nerves, and Hutton pull one back, and then the momentum shifts, and obviously Abby's then not on the pitch. She's not allowed back on because of potential concussion or, you know, potential broken nose. You know, I know after the game she said she was more concerned about actually getting blood on her shirt and not being able to come back on. But yeah, she, you know, she wanted to get back on the pitch as soon as she could, but just wasn't allowed to. And it really shifted the momentum of the game. And I think it's one of those ones where a couple of decisions, I know Tom Gale at the end wasn't too happy about stoppage time, but they're just some of the details. But it was a really tough defeat to take. And I think you can see from what Katie said at the end of it that she was really proud of the team. And I think that was definitely the message she wanted to get across, that the performance was really good, especially on the back of the FA Cup defeat, the heavy FA Cup defeat. A lot of the players, you know, showed their worth and showed their character, I think, and how they played against a really tough opposition in a game that really should have been a Lionesses win for me. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to get away with that, right, aren't I, Michael?
Yeah, that's fine. You are strictly external, so if you get told off, then I can say I told you so. But no, I have to agree with the majority of what you said there. I thought it was a good performance by the girls. I thought Abby Dell, she is just absolute class as a footballer. There is just no denying that. And we as a football club are incredibly lucky to have a player of that standard there. And that's not a knock to any of the girls who we've got this season as well, because as you all know, I'm big fans of the squad and even those from who played last season. But Abby Dell is an exceptional talent. But also as well, one thing I like about Abby, and the main thing as well, which I think fans do as well, she's really taken to the club. You know, a lot of players, and especially in the women's game, I remember, and I won't name the team, but I remember a couple of years ago when we was in the Championship, I remember talking to a general manager of a team in the Championship, and they said that women's football, especially in London, is a bit of a merry-go-round. You'll notice that some players do a season here, some players do a season there, or they might do 18 months, etc. But Abby seems to have really taken on what it means to be a Millwall player. And it's fantastic. Her interaction on social media with Millwall fans is excellent with the commitment she puts in. Back to the game, you're right, it was a great performance. Millie was great in goal. Again, you could hear Larissa and the goalkeepers on the side encouraging her, so that was fantastic to see. I think if you can be slightly critical, and I always sit on the fence, Ryan, as you know from being in Acton Millwall as well, I do like to sort of sit on the other side of the fence. You can question the game management side of it, but again, going back to it, if we were 5-2 up or potentially against 10 players, if a red card was given, game management would have been slightly different. But we knew Hutton would be a good team. We knew Hutton would be a side who would test us. And as we were saying, I think apart from a few, let's just say, decisions that some people may not agree with, it could have been a completely different result. And I mean, it's not for a few weeks, but I'm really looking forward to the away game.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
We already said we're going to smash them against you when we play them.
Brilliant. That sounds but like the right sort of mentality.
I think it was nice this week. The fans really had our back as well. Compared to last week when obviously we lost 8-0. The fans were a lot quieter last week compared to this week, and they were really like backing us up. And when that did happen to Abby, they were, you know, you could hear them shouting, you know, red card and send her off and stuff like that. So yeah, it was nice to feel that support.
Brilliant. Well, actually, you've preempted my next question. I was going to ask, obviously we're talking a bit before we came on air about the fans and the difference it makes. And obviously you were saying you hadn't quite experienced it before, but you know, maybe tell the listeners a bit about how having that number of fans at a game you know is for yourself.
It's great. I love it. It makes you want to work hard for them. Not that you don't work hard when there aren't fans, but it makes you want to please them, I guess. And even in the warm-up, you'll have like the Millwall fans kind of standing behind the goal watching the warm-up, and you never know if you're actually kind of inspiring the next female football star because they've seen you play. You can hear them, like when we make saves in training, they're just like, oh, that was so good, or you know, stuff like that. So you know, like we might unintentionally be role models for someone. So yeah, it's great. I love kind of the atmosphere as well. It's nice.
Anything else from you, Michael, before we wrap up? Obviously, this weekend's game has been called off due to COVID-related matters, and I know it was a bit of a difficulty with the ground just getting moved, but ultimately, there's no game this weekend now, is there?
No, it's a well-earned feat up for our girls. So, there's no game this weekend. There's a few things behind the scenes. We've had to do quite a bit of work to secure other grounds and things like that. But the league has decided, for whatever reason, the game's not to go ahead. We totally respect the decision of the league. And, Larissa, just make sure you behave yourself this weekend.
Of course, I always do.
There you go. I'm sure that there's a plenty of reason maybe to have some squad. Well, actually, I was going to say it's a good reason to have a squad
outing. But, you know, with groups of six, I think that might have some cliques appearing, which might not be the best thing for morale.
Yeah, so social distanced Quasar, for those who remember 90s yeah. laser battles.
There you go.
Well, I think there was talk of some sort of socials. I don't know if that's still going to go ahead.
There you are, all within COVID
guidelines. As long as there's only six at a time.
Of course.
Brilliant. Social, well, Larissa, thank you so much for coming on. It's been really, really good to talk to you. Michael, always, thank you for keeping me company on these.
No problem at all. And thank you as well to the listeners. We've had some incredible numbers, I've got to say. I sat there sadly with a calculator counting up, and we've had over 3,000 downloads just for our 11 episodes. So it's a real testament to the listeners of the main show as well. It's a testament to Nick and the work Harry Warren puts in as well for the social media, but also a testament to you, Ryan, and the girls themselves, that people obviously want to listen what we've got and what we've got to say. So a huge thank you for this show. I'm really, really, I'm really quite proud of what we've achieved, Ryan, and we've obviously Nick Hart's help massively.
Yeah, a massive thanks to Nick for all the editing and behind the scenes work he does, but a big thanks to the listeners as well for getting behind the Lionesses and, you know, tuning in and hopefully, you know, paying a bit more interest and enjoying the ride. I think this season it should really be a good one. Well, all that is left to say then, Larissa, is could you give us your best bye for now for us to wrap up the pod?
Bye for now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.